Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views. The views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us one of my favorite guests and somebody who fills in for me when I'm off traveling, and that's Myrna Culbury. She does our early morning program and our 3 to 4 program, and she's always a welcome guest here at Radio Liberty. Hi, Myrna. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great, Stan, and it's such fun to be with you again. It's fun to hold your chair, and it's fun to sit in the guest chair, too.
All right, fine. Well, I think that, of course, the trouble is that most people really don't understand what is happening to the educational process. They see the young people going into a position of rebellion, and they say, oh, well, that's just the raging hormones. They talk about the fact that we have falling SAT scores, and the only way that they go up at all is we dumb down the tests, as they have here in California, to make Governor Davis look good. Yeah. But they don't understand that this is part of an intentional plan of really changing the values, the beliefs, and the attitudes of our children, and intentionally dumbing them down, because you don't want smart people in a slave state. Why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, someone asked me today, what is it? Why will they not give up this wrong method of teaching reading, which has been around for 70 years as a dominant method in schools, and it was around even before that. John Dewey knew 100 years ago that it did not work, and he wanted to use it anyway. He said, in effect, pretty much a direct quote, "We do not claim that by the new method," meaning sight reading, whole word, etc., "the children will learn to read as early or as well as by the old method, but we want to use the new method anyway." I think that's one of the more evil sentences in the English language, especially from a man who was hailed as the great philosopher of education. He was the great philosopher of collectivism, when you get right down to it. He wanted, in effect, as you're saying, a slave state. Perhaps he would not have phrased it as slaves, but he wanted a socialist program. He wanted what he called progressive education. And he would have said perhaps he's a democratic socialist, meaning he thinks you can do it by education instead of by revolution, but that means you've got to get hold of the educational system, and you must use it to, in effect, change human nature in the schools. The object of progressive education was not to teach reading. Every American and every parent basically understands that the key to all education is reading. If you don't teach that, you might as well go home. But the educators are not playing the same game. Somebody lately put it to me, and I thought it was a cute way to put it. He said, "Why does Tiger Woods not score more touchdowns?" You know what? He's not trying to score his touchdowns. He's not playing that game. And the educators, unfortunately, are not playing the game of education. They're playing more the game of indoctrination and socialization and trying to get the kids to fit into the herd mentality. And, if you want kids to fit into a herd and you want to make them uncertain of their own brains, you might do exactly sight reading, look, say, whole language, whole word, etc. What if you want to make them have to ask, what is this word? Can you tell me this word? Gee, I don't know what this word is. And struggle and strain and stress and look to the group or look to the teacher for an answer. Maybe you'd like to dumb their little brains down that way. Most teachers don't feel that. Most teachers are in there pitching, trying to do what they can do. But what they're not doing, that they should do, is A, they must teach phonics. They must grab their own materials. They must get phonicsopoly, if nothing else, and teach this. And if you don't get phonicsopoly, go buy one of the $400 products if you want to. At least that's better than nothing. Buy the phonics game. It's a heck of a lot better than nothing, but it's expensive these days.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. We did a program earlier today on our American Freedom Network program, and we had Dean Gotcher there. And Dean Gotcher talks about the training of teachers to be facilitators, to change attitudes, values, and beliefs. And an older teacher called in, and she teaches in the schools in Colorado. And, of course, she talked about how, you know, she insists that the children do the right thing, keep their feet underneath their desk, you know, act politely, do their studies. She teaches them rote memory. And she says, you know, when the younger students, people learning to be teachers come in, they think that what she's doing is just terrible because they've been told you should never tell the student what to do. You should let them sort of evolve into knowledge and let it seep into their mind by themselves. And you should never tell them they're wrong or try to discipline them or you know, they're just going to start to learn on their own. And of course, this is what they're being taught in the teacher's college. That and the fact that, you know, you certainly don't want to insist that, you know, 2 and 2 is 4 because you're going to hurt some people's self-esteem.
Absolutely. And they got to figure out whether it's 2 plus 2 is 5 or 5.5 or 7 3/4, and any one of those can be right.
And of course, the reality is that we are simply preparing many of our children for failure. Now, some of the children are going to extremely good schools where they do use standard methods, are doing fine, but this is not what we're doing with the inner city kids. And, you know, some of the black parents said, well, you know, they're deliberately dumbing down my children. And I think that they're absolutely right, and we ought to listen to what they're saying. It's the black parents so often that want to get vouchers to get their kids out of the schools in the inner city that are designed for failure. And when you understand there is an intense hatred of the blacks by the elite, that they have actually genocidal programs. That's why they put their abortion mills in the black area. That is why Margaret Sanger spoke and wrote so disparagingly about the black. But of course, you know, they will attack Trent Lott, but they'll never attack Margaret Sanger or the other people who go along with her Malthusian concepts. But of course, this idea is carried over into education at every level of our society, deliberately dumbing down not only the inner city children, but the white children as well.
It's everybody, and it's, of course, hurting the inner-city children and minorities and so forth even worse because they have fewer safety systems and so forth. If a kid is being beaten up in reading and it's a white kid, they're liable to be able to get a tutor or something. If it's a black kid, maybe not.
We're going to have to interrupt you there because we're going to have to take our quick first break. And, of course, this is the time when I just want to mention that if you sort of feel run down, you don't feel very good, you feel like you need additional energy, give serious consideration to getting some Be Alive Royal Jelly. And it comes in capsule form. It comes in a powder form. It comes in, you can just get it out of a jar. There's a lot of ways to take it. We take the capsules. We've been taking them for 8 to 10 years. And I wouldn't be without the product. It just is designed to give you additional energy. And if you feel tired early in the day and you feel that you need something to spark you up, this is what it's designed for. It's a natural food product. But the amazing thing is that it really works. And so if you'd like to find more about Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. It's sold with a money-back guarantee, and if you take it for 3 months, if you're no better, they'll give you your money back.
Hello, garlic lovers. This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi to talk to you about a breakthrough in garlic technology. It's called Alamet. You know all the healthy reasons to take garlic, but isn't it time you got your money's worth? A recent study found the 24 leading brands of garlic pills provided little, if any, allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient. Try Alamex, which is the only odorless garlic supplement to provide pure allicin, a full 180 milligrams. That's the power of 15 fresh cloves of garlic. Alamex isn't available in stores, so call 866-405-4000. That's Alamex at 866-405-4000.
All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me simply mention we've got a couple of great 4-tape sets. One of them, of course, is Life-Saving Secrets, my 4 interviews with Dr. Russell Blaylock, giving you the information you need to boost your immunity in case of a biological attack. Call right now.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable at the regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Myrna Culbraith. Now, most people do not understand this no child left behind concept. This is, of course, the program of the Bush administration. And really, of course, what the no child left behind, that means all the children are going to get a good education. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means no child is going to be left behind with those archaic values and beliefs and of course, attitudes of the yesteryear, the ones that love God and family and country. The whole program is designed to change attitude of beliefs and values, and of course, this will be determined by the federal testing, and that's what it's all about. We will test, and of course, you have to teach to the test, and if these children believe in God, you failed. If these children don't believe in environmentalism and Gaia, if these children have loyalty to family and country, if they don't embrace socialism, why, the teaching has failed. It is the greatest power grab of all time sold to these stupid American people under the guise of, we want to return power and authority to the local community and the local school board, whereas exactly the opposite is the case, you see. But if they told you the truth, why, you'd be up in arms. If you knew that they were deliberately dumbing down your children in school, you wouldn't put up with it. But, of course, that's exactly what it's about. And, of course, it already starts with reading, doesn't it?
Yes, you know, if you pull the pin out from under things by destroying reading, then you have a situation of chaos. And incidentally, you were talking about black students wanting to get out and get into voucher programs and so forth. That's a very good thing for them to want to do. It's a very good thing for anybody to want to do. But what many blacks even do not know is that in 1930, essentially, there was complete black literacy. There was full and complete black literacy. More than 90% of blacks living in cities were fully and completely literate. Nearly all 14-year-old blacks were fully and completely literate. There were still a few people around who were older, and back in the hills, everybody could read. And now, what's out on the streets is not only white illiteracy, but of course, even heavier black and Hispanic, etc. illiteracy. And we, of course, have had the study under a Department of Education grant in which phonicsopoly, this is an independent third-party study, it took worst-case kids, including a lot of minority kids, including a lot of second-language kids, so more than three-quarters of the kids were minorities, and all of them were poor, including poor white kids and so forth. It went from the bottom 25% on a standardized national test to the top 14% in the country.
And, of course, this was just using phonicsopoly?
Just using phonicsopoly, just for 16 hours. A family using it at home would use it for even fewer hours. You just have to need to get through the five basic games. I mean, you can play the couple of bonus games for fun, but if you get through even three of the five games, your kids will know more than most college professors. And so will you. And I'm going out a couple days now. I was just in Las Vegas doing Good Morning Las Vegas a couple weeks ago. I'm going another direction to do a couple of television early morning interviews plus some radio, etc. And one of the themes that these people are liking is your brain working four times too hard? Now, we've talked on this program about the sleepy tired syndrome, which, as you know, we've seen even executive adults get over this terrible brain fatigue and do it in a couple of games. But now the brain scan research is confirming it too. There are recent studies where they looked in the brain of people they defined as being dyslexic, having dyslexia. You know, I say it's not dyslexia, it's dysteachia. Well, now, in effect, that's been proved, Dr. Stamp. They took a group, and they took, in this case, it was teenage boys, but the same thing goes really for older, younger, and all sexes. But they took the teenage boys, they took ones that they defined as having dyslexia, and then they took an above-normal group of readers who were reading just fine, thanks, and better than their age level. They compared what their brains were doing. Well, the dyslexic brains were doing 4 times the effort and energy that the normal brains were doing. Then, all they did was teach those kids, and I'm talking, you know, late teenage kids, they taught them some phonics. And not quite as elegant a method or as quick a method as phonopoly or phonicsopoly, but nonetheless, they taught them phonics and let them use it for a little bit. Then they measured them again. Well, guess what? Brains that had been working 4 times too hard, and that's average, some of them would have had to be working 5 or 6 times too hard or more, 4 times too hard, they went to working normally. There was no difference between their brain activity and the ones that had never had a problem, and that in fact were ahead of their age level. And all of these kids who were defined as having dyslexia came up to being able to read normal, age-appropriate, grade-level-appropriate material. And although it wasn't as quick as phonicsopoly, they did it pretty quickly, too, like about 3 weeks.
All right. Well, I think it's so important that the parents of America understand that what has happened is not by accident. You were talking about how John Dewey began this whole thing. John Dewey signed the Humanist Manifesto. He was a dedicated socialist. He went to Russia. He loved Russia. He loved this authoritarian concept. And, of course, most Americans think that there's communism in Russia. There was never communism. Basically, they had a form of totalitarian socialism, which is an elitist concept by which the elitist control us common folks. But of course they can't tell the students that in school, because they wouldn't go along with these socialist ideas and be willing, of course, to embrace this idea that the government's going to provide for the people. In a free society, the government cannot provide for the people. It can only provide for the people in a totalitarian society or a regulated society, because government doesn't have any money. Government doesn't have any money. The only money it has is what it takes from us by force or prints or borrows. And of course, nobody ever tells the students that. Nobody ever tells the students that what we are doing is preparing the average American to have all the same rights and privileges as the Indians living on the Indian reservations in the Middle West. Of course, now the Indians living in California are doing pretty well with the gambling.
Maybe we should just let everybody have a casino, Dr. Stan. That'll fix the whole problem.
Right. Well, of course, what we really need to do is educate our young people so that they can be prepared to succeed and compete in this society. And the great tragedy is we're having to bring in people from India and China and Pakistan, because these kids are getting an education, and many of them are getting the jobs in the software industry, at least when we had a booming software industry, because our students just couldn't compete.
That's right. Our students simply cannot compete in the high-tech industries at all. And by the way, that there are programs where a kid could go to school for a kid or an adult or a medium-age adult could go to school for anywhere from a few months to a year or two, and they could get government funding even to pay for that technical school, and they could go out and get a $60,000 or even a $90,000 a year job. And the only thing that's keeping them from doing it is they can't read well enough. They have to pass a little entry-level test to get into such a program. And by the way, technical schools are losing tens of thousands of dollars of government money that they could otherwise have because they can't get these kids past the test. And if they can't get them past the test and they sneak them past or whatnot, then they get a failure rate that sooner or later puts them out of business. So they're between a rock and a hard place, too. But think of all the American kids who cannot get into those technical schools where they could get prepared to get a very nice job. And there are still a lot of technical jobs that go begging, and they go to... And incidentally, companies have to pay. It's not cheap. Microsoft, Bill Gates threatened to move Microsoft out of the country if they cut back on the quota of foreign technicians who could come in. He said, I can't run Microsoft without them. I will move to Canada or wherever else because I can't do it. And so they relented a little bit, and they let in some more foreign technicians on special kind of visas. It costs, it's not just a cost-saving thing. It's not that they can pay them slave wages or anything. They have to pay them normal American wages, and besides that, they have to pay about $10,000 just to do the paperwork to allow these foreign technicians to come in on those kinds of visas. So it's not a cost-saving, and we'll employ the undereducated here. No, it's they can't get Americans who can read well enough. By the way, this is a new figure that I don't know that you've heard, Dr. Stan, because I hadn't heard it till pretty lately. This is a life-threatening thing, too. I don't know if you've heard the figure, but the rate of suicide among students having dyslexia, which really means, again, dysteachia, but kids that are defined as dyslexia, 4 times the rate of suicidal thoughts or suicidal attempts. Regular population's not doing that well either, again, mainly because of the reading, but ones that are not called dyslexic are trying or having suicidal thoughts at the rate of 5%. The ones that have dyslexia are having it at nearly the rate of 20%, 19 or a fraction.
All right, well, we're going to have to just take another break here. When we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And would like to get your thoughts. If you agree or disagree, give us a call here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I wanted to remind you about this new 4-tape set we have, 4 interviews with Dr. Russell Blaylock, entitled Life-Saving Secrets. And basically it goes into what you need to know, how you would go about increasing your immune response in case of a biological warfare, and it's something you need to begin thinking about right now because I believe there's going to be a biological attack, and all the information I'm getting right now convinces me the government knows full well there's going to be a biological attack, just as they knew there was going to be the anthrax attack on the September 11th, because they started, the president and the vice president and the White House staff, on Cipro on the evening of September 11th, 2001, but of course, they didn't tell the rest of the American people that. Well, they're making other preparations now for the elite in case of a biological attack, and there's so much information. We'll be covering that in our next newsletter. You need, of course, to think on how you're going to increase your immune response. We have this great new book. It's called Health Secrets and Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Blaylock, and the new 4-tape set with him. And then, of course, we have a great 4-tape set. It's called Aleister Crowley and His Friends, Going into the Background of the Occult Organizations That Work at Every Level of Our Society Today. That's Aleister Crowley and His Friends. And then, of course, we have book War on Freedom. We have, of course, my video, 9/11 Contrived. We have my video, Desperate Deception. That's Desperate Deception. All of them are available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Of course, we hope you want to get our Miracle 2 soap products. We hope you want to get a Phenopoly set, what Myrna is talking about. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
God save!
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, we're interviewing Myrna Culbraith today, and she is the designer of Phonopoly. And, of course, she originally created the Phonics game and sold that, and, of course, it's still available. It's quite expensive, but it's an excellent product. But Phonopoly, of course, uses all the same information and principles. It's a board game, and you play it just like you do Monopoly. It's fun to play. I've played it. But after you've played the various board games, there are 5 board games, 2 bonus games with this, why you begin to think phonetically. You begin to pronounce words phonetically. You begin to think as you're spelling words, the phonic aspects of this, and it really changes your whole approach, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing for children. And if you'd like to find out about how to get a Phonopoly set, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warm. Well, Myrna, certainly, why don't you just sort of briefly describe to our listeners how you play Phonopoly? Because, you know, it sounds sort of, it sounds simple, and yet, of course, it's specifically designed to teach people the 40 sounds of the English language and the 12 rules that they need. Well, go ahead and explain to our listeners.
You open it up, and you'll see extremely colorful playing boards. There's sort of 5-sided playing boards with the vowels at each corner on the beginning board, and they get a little more complex as you go through them. They start very simply. You can start with a little kid or a college professor, and you start everybody at the same place because the little kid needs to learn the sounds in the first place and learn to start sounding out words. The middle-aged kid, so to speak, needs to reprogram from the way he's been taught wrong. He's been taught to play it with the wrong side, you know, trying to read with the half of the brain that can't even talk. And the adult needs to reprogram in the same way. One of the things you can do is you get to sound things out one sound at a time, even though you know the word, especially if you know the word. And that, in turn, makes the brain start doing that. And there's brain research evidence that shows the brain reads one sound at a time when it reads successfully. If it's not reading successfully, it's wandering around trying to jump at the word and guess at it and figure out what it might be from the first letter and so on, and it's not being successful. But if it's reading successfully, they have ways to determine it's reading and it's noticing each and every sound that is in there. Now, you play Phonopoly, you just open it up, and you'll find there are 7 playing boards, there are 12 little decks of cards that act as playing pieces on the board, and if you open it up, and then there are actual little playing pieces, and then there's some land grants that are like deeds to the property on the board. The object of the game is to get the most spaces and the most cards together to win. And you roll the die and put your little playing piece on the A space, in effect on go, on start, and you roll the die, and let's say you roll a 4. You can either go, count on the board, 1, 2, 3, 4, and land on one of the spaces. And in that case, in the first game, it will just be a letter on the space, maybe it's F, and you get that space just by giving the sound of the letter, not the name, but the sound. And by the way, there's a tape to give you the exact sounds, and you play a few minutes of the first tape, it'll tell you exactly how to play the game and exactly the sounds. You could be a non-reader and you could use it. Most people can also take a look at the quick start rules and the rule book and jump right into it. And it's not rocket science. You don't have to treat it like rocket science. You don't have to study up on it or whatnot before you start into the game. Play the tape a few minutes, or even just read a bit of the instructions, jump in and do it.
And, of course, basically there's a tape. You need some sort of a tape recorder, and then you can get the sounds, and you begin to duplicate the sounds. And then whether it's in how A is pronounced, and A can be pronounced in AA or an AA, and how do you know which way it's going to be pronounce. And then, of course, once you know how it's going to be, whether it's an A or an A, and then, of course, you can begin to utilize that with the spelling. So it's really sort of exciting as you realize how logical the English language is, and nobody ever tells you.
That's right. And people, I heard an interesting story. Well, it was when I was guest hosting on your morning program the other day. One of the guest hosts that I had is the elected to the Teacher Hall of Fame and 2 or 3 times Teacher of the Year. She's also a talk show host. Her name is Deborah Peppers, and she's a big talk show host in the Midwest. And I met her some years ago, and I started doing interviews on her show when we were doing the Phonics game. And we sent her a copy of the Phonics game. And she was teaching, and she volunteered as a high school teacher to teach a class where half of the kids would be special education kids, and the other half would be ordinary kids. And she found out that neither one of them could read much. And she said, well, what do I have to lose? I'll use the phonics game and try it. And she didn't even tell them, is this going to fix your reading? She said, we're going to play this game. And did it as much as she could in there. And they tested the kids before and after, and they tape recorded them. And some of these kids started on a second, third grade level. There were even kids in there that were diagnosed as having autism, which is a pretty tough nut to crack, and Down syndrome. But most of them had behavior problems. They'd been in and out of juvenile justice. They had the problem of not having been taught to read and all the consequences thereof. Well, by the end of the year, they had all come up, and this was, you know, a few months, they had come up to their full grade level of reading or above. Many of them were at a college level of reading. And she told a few of their specific stories, a gang kid where she found his notebook with meticulous drawings and so forth of gang symbols, and she started to hand it back to him the next day. He thought he was in big trouble. And she said, no, you're not in trouble, but what this shows me is that you're extremely intelligent. I just want you to snap to it and learn this game and read and go on and get on with your life. And that kid went on to college. Well, the point is, it's so simple to use these things. And when you do it in phonicsopoly, the logic of it is there. And what you said, this a girl in there who was an honor student who was volunteering in the class to help out with the worst case kids. And this honor student was in courses and all of that. And she said, she saw some of the rules, like the rule we've talked about sometimes about how the letter C can make two sounds, and how are you going to know when it will sound like a K or when it will sound like an S? And nobody knows that rule, including this honor student. And she said, why doesn't anybody ever teach me these rules? I mean, never mind these dummies, in effect. She didn't say it that way, but she said, you know, these kids may be struggling, but I'm supposed to be the top of the top here, and I haven't got a clue about these rules until I see it in the game. And that's how everybody feels when you get, you know, if not long before, by the time you get to the third game in there, it's things Gene Roddenberry didn't know, that rule, when I asked him. He never heard the question, but he sat down and he gave himself some examples and he figured it out. And he was right.
Well, of course, everything is logical, but the trouble is that they're just not telling our students what they need to know. And it's not that it is not known. It's that there is an organized effort to dumb down our students. And when you understand that, then you understand why, you know, when our students compete or put in competition with students throughout the world, we're down with Lithuania and Latvia on so very many items. And one only has to watch Jay Leno and listen to the people he interviews on the streets to realize what we have done to the average American child in America. And their knowledge of, you know, of geography, most of them don't even know who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Yes, well, you know, it's really true. I mean, and the Jay Leno segments are awful. I mean, somebody was asked, how many moons does Earth have? And this was a graduate student. She's thinking and thinking, well, I had an astronomy course, but I don't remember exactly how many moons Earth has. It's pretty grim. Well, there's a man who's written a book called The Twilight of American Culture, and he's citing people can't read, they're illiterate, they're semi-literate, and he cites the Jay Leno interviews, too, as an example of the fact that the American culture is going to the usual location in a handbasket.
But of course, Jay Leno is never going to tell us the truth. He's not going to tell us it was planned that way, that, of course, John Dewey and Huey and all these people in the teachers' colleges were taken over many years ago and intentionally to dumb down the children. Because, of course, the greatest crime that a slave owner could have was to have an educated slave. And the greatest crime you could have in America today would be an educated populace. And that's what the No Child Left Behind program is all about. Because it is not stressing phonics, it is not stressing education, it's stressing attitudes and beliefs. We had a wonderful book on this. It's called FedEx. FedEx, we recommend it to you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to understand that nothing happens by accident. It all happens as part of a plan. And the people behind the scenes, the people in Washington, D.C., know exactly what they're doing. This was the program pushed by Teddy Kennedy. And, of course, popularized by our president, the same one who's leading us into a war in Iraq, you know, over the objection of almost everybody else in the world. Well, go ahead, Myrna.
Well, you know, I would like to see people be able to do well on standardized tests that really test reading and writing. One of the things that has happened, irrespective of the intent of the bill that we're talking about, I think some people probably did it with fairly benevolent intent, and some people did it with not so benevolent intent. But what's happened, regardless of intent, and the New York Times was covering this, is that bill gives states the right to set the standards and set the testing agenda, and then it penalizes them if they do not perform well on the test. So guess what? The states have dumbed down the standards by which they judge non-performing schools so that fewer of them will be non-performing and miss out on the federal money. So even if the intent is to test on basics like reading and math, the states have then grabbed that and dumbed down the test. So it is difficult to get anything going here. What people need to do, and they really need to get serious about it, your audience needs to get serious about doing this yourself. You know, grab Phonopoly and go teach, first of all, your own family, but then anybody else you can get hold of. And a lot of people are volunteering.
Now, of course, the thing is that we have to have a literate population, and we do not have a literate population. And what the most frightening figures are some that come out of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. And I remember when it was, they said that, you know, we have over 90 million Americans who are either partially or totally illiterate. Now, some of them, you know, can read, but they just read at a very, very low level. And if you read at a low level, you still can't, you know, really understand so much of what you read. And, of course, you really will not be able to recognize when you're being lied to by the media. And that's one of the big things, one of the reasons we have so many people believe what they read in the newspapers is because they're incapable of thinking beyond the obvious and realizing that the newspapers are not telling us the truth. They're molding our attitudes and our own beliefs, even as adults.
Many people do not read even a newspaper or even anything, a book, a magazine, whatever. Many people do not read for pleasure. And it's not that they don't like information. Witness the great growth of talk radio. It's that they don't read well. If I have a friend who, somebody grabbed him in the third grade, taught him some phonics, he's one of five kids. They're all millionaires. He's the only one who reads for pleasure.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Myrna Kilbreath, and we'll welcome your calls at 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when, of course, I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and, of course, we hope that many of you will decide right now that you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day. As we, 5 hours on the radio, 5 hours on the Internet, 3 hours on satellite, 2 hours on shortwave, but what a wonderful opportunity to reach people all across America from sea to shining sea. And so if you're out there and you're listening to us and you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, it's as simple as picking up your phone and calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do 5 hours every day. And then our weekend program is heard by 34 or 35 different stations. And then, of course, we're doing another weekend program. And we'll be here on KSCO tomorrow at noon. We hope that many of you will want to be listening in there when we'll talk about the health secrets, health and nutrition secrets that can save your life. So you can get that. Of course, my interviews with Dr. Blaylock by certainly getting our 4 tape set on the health secrets, or you can listen tomorrow at noon on KSCO if you live in the Monterey Bay area. We hope that you'll go to our website, radioliberty.com, where you can pull down our newsletters, where you can pull down our programs. We hope you'll tell others about our programs. We hope, of course, many of you will, of course, make it a point to encourage others to go to the website where they can listen to us live streaming 3 hours a day and pick up our archived programs. Again, that's www.radioliberty.com.
Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-based education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for outcome-based education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest is Myrna Culbraith, and of course she is the producer of the Phonopoly game, or Phonixopoly if you prefer it that way. And of course, if you'd like to get a Phonopoly set, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And it's really five board games and two bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books with it. Most of these programs are $300 or $400. This is $139.95 plus shipping. And I don't think you'll be sorry that you got it. And really, I've played the game. I learned a lot from it. And I think that anyone at any age can learn. But it's so important for children to learn to read properly, and they're not going to in government schools. So, of course, Myrna, of course, is on the front lines trying to educate people. If you're out there across America, you have a question, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And I think it was Thomas Sowell who said that if the American people really knew what they were doing to our children, there'd be a revolution in America. Well, unfortunately, the American people don't know. They're not allowed to know. And if it weren't for alternative radio, why so many of our children would never have had an opportunity to learn, to read, to get these programs, and, of course, to begin, of course, to have that opportunity, which only comes when you can read and understand. And then, of course, you can begin to grasp history and understand where freedom comes from. You can read the Bible effectively. That was a major reason for learning to read initially in America, was so you could read God's Word. Well, they certainly aren't going to teach that in school today, because, of course, our schools are anti-God, because they understand that freedom and God go together, and they have an agenda, they have a plan, and that is to end freedom, as we've noted here in America. Well, Myrna, as you talk to people across America, do you think there's a growing awareness of what's happening, or are so many of our people still believing that we're getting the truth?
Well, you know, I think with regard to reading, people do understand that there's a crisis in reading. They don't understand how big or how bad it is. They don't understand that one out of two adult Americans reads on a fifth grade level or below. When you say that, they are surprised, but they know that it's bad. They don't know how bad. They know that their kids are in some kind of danger in school. They don't quite know how bad it is. You know, it's hard for Americans. We're a pretty benevolent people. You tend to see in other people what you find in yourself. So if you're doing a pretty good job and trying to do your best and working along, you tend to think so is everybody else, so are the teachers, so are the schools. And that's why it's hard for Americans to believe how bad it is. But, you know, Dr. Sowell is right, and I had Dr. Sowell as my guest that I invited one time on one of your morning programs that I did, and he's a very interesting man. He's written books like American Education, Inside American Education, The Decline, The Dogmas, The Deception. Talks about the literacy problem, talks about the fact that people are getting segregated into self-segregated tables in the college cafeteria, for example, in part because of affirmative action and the fact that they're mismatching people to the schools. There are lots of black students who could do very well in certain colleges, but they're being kicked upstairs into colleges where the typical SAT score of the entering freshman is, say, 1,200, and their score is 900. Now, they would do okay in a school where the average score was 900, but they're not there. They're somewhere else. And the ones who have 900 average scores are getting the next lowest that might have 700 scores and so on. So everybody then feels out of place and it's tending to exacerbate racial problems that we thought were going away some years ago, and they could have, and they would have, I think, if you just did reading right. I mean, this is a critical issue for our society, irrespective of whatever else anybody believes about politics, economics, etc. Pretty much everybody understands you need to be able to read well. When I call around, let's say, talking to people about doing a television appearance or whatnot, people I run into on the switchboard are responding to the idea of, my God, you mean the brain could be working four times too hard? Boy, I think my brain must be doing that. And, you know, they're usually right, incidentally. This is a very pervasive problem. If I speak in front of an executive group and I explain that a lot of people get the sleepy, tired syndrome and that it's being caused really by teaching reading to the wrong half of the brain and that it can be fixed. And I ask the executive group, by the way, do any of you, even if they haven't already waved their hands and said, boy, I get that, if I ask them, then they all the hands go up. That's probably two-thirds, three-fourths of the hands in most executive groups. As a younger group, it's probably even more. And they all look around at each other, great surprise. I mean, you get that too? I thought it was just me. I thought I was the only one in the world that felt like that. Well, no, you're not. And, you know, with that phenomenal deal you're offering on Phonopoly, Phonixopoly, boy, people should get this and play it as a parlor game. Let it be the next new parlor game craze, because without your even knowing it, without your even paying attention to it, if you'll just do the sound it out one sound at a time in the first couple of games, then you get to the third game and it's things like that honor student was saying, gee, why didn't anybody ever tell me this? And on beyond that. But by the third game, you've got your five-year-old up to four, five, six-syllable words, words like chronological or genetic, and not only can they read them, they can explain which letter's changing another letter's sound and how come. And you, too, will know, and you'll know more than the average professor of English in a college, and you'll know more for sure than the common teacher that is trying to teach your kids. You should not leave this to the tender mercies of the public school, whether or not they believe you, Dr. Stan, about the conspiracies and the difficulties and the deliberateness of this. Let's say they don't. Let's say they only think, well, gee, the school's trying to do the best they can. Even so, you know that the schools are not doing well. You see it all around you. And you may think, oh, gee, my kids, though, are okay. They're on the honor roll. They're doing pretty nicely. Well, that honor student who was helping out, and Dr. by the way, Deborah Peppers has since gotten her doctorate degree. She's now Dr. Peppers. And, as she pointed out on your program the other morning. And she, you know, people who are graduating from high school, there's been a study, 98% of them cannot write a two-line theme without terrible mistakes in spelling and usually grammar as well. 2% of our graduating high school seniors can half decently write a couple of lines of the English language. The others can't. And you know that more than 2% are on the honor rolls. More than 2% are going to the elite colleges. So your kid is almost certainly in this boat, and the boat is sinking, and you better fish the kid out. Together with your whole family, might as well have some fun with it. And Phonopoly is a strategy game. It's, you have to think how you're going to get the spaces. You're trying to get real estate on the board. If you get three of the same color, that's a Phonopoly, and somebody lands on you, you get double payment. The cards act kind of like money and kind of like houses and hotels. And there really is strategy to it. And the first game is simple, but it's deceptively simple. When you have played that game, you will have learned or cleaned up 31 out of the 40 sounds in the English language. By the second game, you'll get the five long vowel sounds, when the vowel really sounds like its name. A sounds like A, E sounds like E. And how you know, and there's a simple built-in rule that some people might know, but most don't. And by the third game, it's the rules nobody knows. And it's more a little more complex, but easy still. And if you're taking a little kid through it, the little kid will follow right along. By the end of the third game, there's sort of two halves of the third game. By the second half, words like chronological, genetic, chiropractor, things like that, will, which means he can read a newspaper. The fourth game is even simpler, just the owls and the ahs and the oi sounds, whammo. You've got all 40 sounds of the English language. The didn't break a sweat, and the next one even tells you what to do about words that break the rules and what to do about spelling. And then there's a game at the end that many people tell us is worth the price of admission in itself. It's everything you always wanted to say but were afraid to pronounce, even foreign expressions. You know, is it coup de grace or coup de grace? Well, a lot of people would think coup de grace because of all the silent letters in French. Nope, that one's coup de grace. And there are many others like that that people kind of maybe know from their reading, and some will not know them, will learn the meaning of it too. But we wouldn't say them out loud in many cases because we might be wrong. You know, who knows the exact way to pronounce a French word? Well, the professor of linguistics that we have on it, who's a native French speaker, knows, and she's on the tape with me on that particular game, pronouncing some of the foreign expressions, not only French, but Italian and Japanese and, you know, from all different languages that English has adopted words. And then there's even a bonus chart of some more of those words that you may not know how to pronounce. By that time, by the way, you'll be pronouncing them by phonics anyway, and we give you a few tips on even phonics in a couple of other languages. Some of the other languages follow some of our rules, like the C rule that people learn in the third game that Gene Roddenberry didn't know but figured out. For many years, I had three people who gave me an answer on that rule. Well, a lot of wrong answers, but only three right ones. One was Gene Roddenberry. One was my partner that I write Star Trek books with, and now Phonixopoly and earlier the phonics game. And both Gene and my partner had never heard the question but figured it out when I asked. I finally found one teacher who actually knew it. She was sitting in a group of 40 American teachers. She was a Russian who learning to teach English as a second language in Russia. The 40 American teachers didn't have a clue.
Isn't it amazing how they've dumbed down even many of our teachers, and they're good people. They just don't really understand what's happening. Well, Myrna, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
And, oh, delighted, always.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. And that was, of course, Myrna Culbraith. If you'd like to get a Phonopoly set or learn more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, that book we talked about earlier on the dumbing down of America through this No Child Left Behind program, which is being pushed today by the administration, is called FedEd. That's FedEd, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is the time, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival in America because, of course, if America doesn't turn back to God, why, God is going to turn his back on this country. And your people say, oh, well, we're a Christian country, or most of our people are really such good people. Well, certainly the society reflects the church. And look at our society today. 42 million children killed by abortion. And, of course, we've funded the abortion and population control throughout the rest of the world. That's killed another half a billion or more children. And men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. We're in the trouble we are today because of the church, not despite it. So please pray for revival and pray for our ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
See you next week.
Oh, yes. Eric's going to be gone Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, do you need me up here Wednesday?
No.
I'd prefer to come just next week, then I